Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome to episode
8,
Behind the Gamer with Kurt Benkert. We just recorded an awesome conversation. Kurt Benkert, I don't know if I just like all the Atlanta Falcons players now, Bonzer, but after spending some time talking with Kurt, talking with Julio, like I really like this organization. I might ditch the Giants, I'll be honest with you, because the Giants are kind of trash. You know, we already have two Super Bowls over Tom Brady and the Patriots. But now all these guys are just genuine guys, and we really got into depth with a lot of gaming with Kurt. His experience with the NFL, talking about a little bit your best friend Julio Jones. I just think overall was a great, great episode.
Yeah, it was good. Kurt's, like I said, I've known Kurt for about a year or so. We've played Fortnite, we played Warzone together. And he's not just an NFL athlete, he's a gamer. He likes gaming, you know, maybe not as much, but right up there with the NFL, and he's trying to do a lot of things to like further his gaming career. So when he's, you know, all said and done with football, he, you know, he has gaming to back up on. And like I said, he's done a number of tournaments. He's won a number of tournaments. Like the guy can play.
Right.
And in the meantime, like he's still doing his trainings. He's not playing as much as us two, and he can play. So
he's still fucking good on the sticks. And he'll even say it all the time, is like, he really takes it seriously and he likes winning. Obviously it's in his blood as a pro athlete, but he really likes winning. And you can tell he really likes to put effort into anything he does, which is really cool to see as a pro athlete, also as like a pretty hardcore gamer, which it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah. He's competitive. We did that Twitch Rivals tournament and he was like really upset when we didn't qualify for the last round. And I couldn't help but think like, Kurt, you're on the fucking Falcons, bro. Like let me be mad about not advancing. Like you're gonna be fine.
That's
gonna be fine, Kurt. But he's, like I said, he's a fucking competitor, and that's why he cares. So
how did you first meet Kurt? Through Fortnite? Did he book a tutoring session?
Yeah, he booked a tutoring set. No. I met Kurt through Neonist. I met Kurt through Neonist.
He's a really good dude, by the way.
Yeah, Neonis, big friend of the program. I'm pretty sure Neonis introduced us. We started playing some trios. We did a little box fighting before in Fortnite, and then we switched over to Warzone early on.
Yep.
And that's kind of how it started.
Yeah, I was first introduced to Kurt in one of the Barstool, in like one of the first Barstool Common Man Cups in S&D. He was actually playing with Lightbutt. I don't remember the rest of his team, but Kurt was sniping with the AX-50, and he was just ripping kids' heads off. It was really... really cool to see a little bit of like Chris Kyle in him, which you like. I like how he uses that sniper a lot. But great episode we filmed. He gets into in depth about Madden ratings. Do players care about their Madden ratings? What goes into the ratings? Is there actually a Madden ratings adjuster? So there's a lot of stuff we delved into here. Bonds, am I missing anything?
Yeah, him being undrafted, I thought that was a cool story.
For sure.
He kind of chose, you know, how he chose Atlanta, how he settled on Atlanta. How it is being, you know, on the team under Matt Ryan, Matt Schaub, Julio Jones, like a few legends in the NFL, like how it is playing with them, working with them. We talked about how good he is at Madden.
Yeah, beast.
Just a bunch of shit. The Fortnite tournament's coming up with his playing with, you know, Booga.
Yeah, and so guys, there is a Streamer Bowl. It's the second Streamer Bowl that Fortnite is throwing. It's this Thursday, February 4th. 6 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure you tune in to Twitch Rivals event. So tune in to twitch.tv/Kurt Benkert. Watch him box fight his way into the finals. It's going to be really electric. I know that Tariq Cohen's in it. Juju's in it as well. But Beast Mode is Kurt's team, and Booga drafted him second overall, which is pretty freaking cool, if you ask me. The World Cup winner.
I mean, Kurt, back-to-back years, he had the most arena points in the NFL. So. I mean, he had twice as many arena points as I had, and I had played a decent amount, so.
That's what I'm saying, dude. He had such a lead, and he ended up winning by, like, 2,000 or 3,000 points this year, and was, like, the NFLPA Fortnite Player of the Year, which is, like, it's crazy. He's just racking up the accolades, which we love to see it, but he is an awesome dude. We want to thank Kurt for taking his time and hopping on the podcast. This is the first podcast that he's actually been on and the first podcast that he listens to, Bonds, right?
Yeah, he said that this is the only podcast he's listened to, like, more than an episode of.
That's pretty cool.
So.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool to see. Right when we're done, I'm going to go tell my wife that and just be like, hey, Kurt loves a pod. So
guys, hope you enjoy this episode with Kurt. Please leave a 5-star review, subscribe or follow if you have not already. Without further ado, NFL quarterback Kurt Benkert. All right. And now we are bringing on probably the most athletic guy Bonzer knows, Aiden's favorite pirate. This just in, the best Fortnite player in the NFL, Kurt Benkert. Welcome to the stream, buddy. Welcome to the stream. Welcome to the podcast.
All of it. All of it. I'm glad to be here, man.
Yeah, you were on the short list from the get-go when this pod was in the works, when we were talking about it, like, who could we get on? I was like, I know Kurt will come on. We're best friends for life in the gaming realm.
No doubt.
He'd definitely come on, shoot the shit. He's as much of a gamer as he is an NFL player.
Which is cool.
So we could definitely shoot the shit. I'm pumped to have him on.
I love it, man. This is the first podcast that I've ever listened to, like, ever, like, more than one episode. And I've not even listened to one episode of other ones. So as soon as you guys started rolling out, I'm like, I got to get on the pod, man. Like, this is what the people want. This is what the people want.
Love it.
That's fucking sick. Speaking about what the people want, this has got to be on the top of everyone's mind. Do you regret introducing Julio Jones to Bonzer Gorgon? Because it's all I see on the timeline.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're boys is awesome. Like, it's cool.
Right.
Maybe you guys will get Julio on the podcast one time. I know Bonz is waiting to fucking sprinkle that in.
I love it.
The fact that they're on, like, a letter basis where he just calls him Jay now.
Yeah.
Maybe a little sus, but, like, that's okay. I think there might be, like, a deeper friendship there that Bonz is going to be able to form, though. And I'm glad to have introduced the guys, man.
Yeah. Love it. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, he told me he owns a Kia dealership in Alabama. And I drive an Optima. He's like, yo, if you ever want to trade it in, let me know.
He's not kidding. He legitimately, okay, so he owns a lot of cars. Like, he's a car guy. There was a company that gave me, like, a portable gaming system. They're called Games, like My Games.
Nice.
And they sent both mine and his to my house. And he said, yeah, I'll just come pick it up from you. And he shows up in a McLaren, like, fucking orange McLaren, like, doors go up, like, butterfly doors. But then the very next day, he shows up in a Kia Stinger at the facility. And, like, he legitimately owns a Kia dealership, and he loves the Stinger. Like, he just, like, could be driving the McLaren, could drive his, like, really nice Grand Cherokee that he, like, he's got a bunch, but he loves his Kia.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's just crazy. Yep.
My whole family, we have Kia, like, my mom, brother, we all have the Kia Optimas or...
Yep.
Sportage.
They're nice, dude. My first car was a Kia Forte.
Okay, let's go.
Very first car in college. And then I actually think we're going to trade in Sam's car for a Telluride soon. So Kia fan. Kia
Telluride's nice.
Dude, it's nice. It's really nice.
I'm not a big car guy myself. I'm actually moving to the city soon so I can just avoid the whole car thing. But to give you an example, like, I drove my family's 2004 Honda Pilot with 240,000 miles until it literally couldn't drive anymore. Broken player in the back. Like, that's just that's just kind of what I like, but no, I respect that a lot.
That's the way to do it, man.
Absolutely. So, Kurt, obviously, you know, you're a pro athlete growing up. I'm sure you spent a lot of time working out, playing football, being like the cool guy, if you will, as well on top of that. Like, how did you really get into gaming? Like, was it something you always liked to do, playing Madden, NCAA? Like, how did you start streaming? Like, walk me through kind of all that.
Yeah, so I've been playing Madden my entire life. Like, it was me, my dad, and my older brother, and we would have Madden franchises, and we'd like – it was basically like a pass the sticks kind of thing. It was on PlayStation 2, and like you couldn't play while the other person was playing their game. And then when you played each other, you'd both hop on at the same time. So like that's where I started. And I was like 7, 8 years old, just throttling people in Madden. And that progressed. I didn't have my own system for a little while, and I had a friend, and he had an Xbox, like the original Xbox. Yep. And he had it in his garage, and he had Call of Duty 4, and he had Halo 2. And I would fucking wake up as early as I could, run over to that garage, like, I would be in their garage playing games before they were even up sometimes because I didn't have my own.
from the
early days, man, I was a grinder. Like,
yeah.
And I didn't. And so I knew like I had to play when he wasn't playing or else I was going to have to watch.
Right.
But I had like a close neighbor that they let me do that. And then that progressed. I got older and run around through 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade. I get my own system.
Right.
I have an Xbox. So I get into Halo a little bit, Halo 3.
Yep.
Like, love the custom games part of it. Like, I really enjoyed ranked, like, Slayer, ranked SWAT.
That, best Halo had the best. Ever. Yeah, 100%. That's Halo what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
That it's is, just, like, yep.
The best progression. You know what I mean? It just shows you how good you are. Mm-hmm. Like, very simple. 1 to 50.
Yes. And so far ahead of its time. I got addicted, man. That's it. Got addicted on Halo SWAT. And that then turned into Modern Warfare 2. I think Modern Warfare 2 dropped when I was in... I think it was in 8th or 9th grade. I don't remember exactly, but that then turned into me creating my first ever Game Battles account, and it was over.
Game Battles.
Over from then. It was I remember
SMD
that. Guy.
dude, SND and like me and a few buddies my 9th and 10th grade year, that is literally all we did. Like so I played football, I worked out, like tried to like be, not be the awkward athlete, like because I was growing fast. And then when I wasn't playing sports, I was grinding game battles.
That's crazy. So, do you remember your old gamer tags by chance? Like, do you remember what they were?
I thought I was so fucking cool. My very first gamer tag was XXYX so X serious XX. Because I fucking why so serious?
That was my first one. Yeah.
And then from there I got on the game battles and like I can't be like this weirdo. Still was a weirdo. And I think it was O space vector. Like that was one of them.
Okay.
Because I thought vector was a cool fucking word, and like that was an ML. Oh, this guy's got an MLG tag.
Dude, yeah. The X's and O's were big back then. Like big. One of mine was O Boston O.
Yep.
Just O space bot. My brother had one as Rush XX. Like Rush space XX. So we had like the lowercase capital. Like
the X's meant you were a gamer, or the O's or something. Yeah, like, you knew you were a gamer at that point.
Like you would kind of know your competition, not even based on GB rank, but like if their name was an MLG name, like you would be like, okay, this guy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to hear Kurt saying like he was in that same space that I was in.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
We could have been playing together. You know what I mean? Like dude, we could have played each other.
I may have been throttling you too, dude. Like
I doubt it. I fucking doubt it, Kurt.
I don't know, man.
I remember. So back in the day, this is how serious we took it. We would. It's gonna sound shitty, but we would. I'm sure it's right on brand, but we would scam people. Tell them we're them that we're the GB admin. We need their password to reset. And we would take GB accounts.
You are such a scum.
My brother had like a 900 GB rank account, which is really fucking low. Like
yeah, 900. No doubt. I think the most I got crazy. Down to was like 30K, like 31K.
Right.
Yeah, and I had friends though, like low 4Ks. Like there was this one of my friends. I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't even remember what his real name was, but his name on there were two. Yeah, his name was Opacity. Like just fucking super smooth, no extra letters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, like that is the MLG name that I wanted to come up with that I didn't.
Opacity. Like, yeah, I respect that,
dude. But game battles is where like I became like the more competitive version of myself, and I let people have it, man. Like I would probably be canceled nowadays, but
100%. We all would.
We all would.
Those MW2 lobbies, like forget competitive. Those lobbies of TDM. Oh my God. It's a different world.
For the record, I never started it, but I always
never. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, sure. Is that when you learn the words like your dog shit? Imagine being bad at the
dog
game.
Dog water.
Yeah, like it just like nowadays, you know me, it just rolls off the tongue. So it's, this is long ingrained. Like I have a daughter now and I'm like, I'm trying not to cuss as much.
Yeah.
But if I'm playing games, I'm cussing. It's just like Bonds is probably going to steal kills. I'm going to be cussing. Same thing.
Yeah. Sure.
I like to say I'm a passionate guy, which is why I always curse. But Bonzer, I mean, you can make Bonzer rage. If you beat him in any box fight, it's just instant rage. I already have one broken controller under my belt because of Bonzer. I'm going to hold that clip forever. 4-0 against him, the Fortnite tutor. And I absolutely love
him. Yeah. So. Some good things die young, man.
Yeah, I agree. Some things like Bonzer grow old. And you want to know the funny thing about the GB's Bonds is like me and Kurt are around the same age. Kurt's 25, I'm 24. So when you were doing these GBs, you were like 16 against 16, like me.
Yeah.
Like me and Kurt were like 10 and 11.
So yeah, and you kids like, were the ones always disputing. Remember the disputes, Kurt?
Yeah.
There would be sore losers. Be like, we won 2-0, and then you'd have to take a picture of the scoreboard on a phone.
Yep.
Submit it through like Photo Bucket.
Yep.
Put it to Game Battles and like have an admin check it out.
Dude,
it was so annoying.
We legitimately had one kid on our team who wasn't necessarily like the best, and we knew that. We picked him up for our GB squad just because he had a cap card.
Yeah. Remember the Dazzles?
He was our Clipper. Like we picked him up for the squad so we didn't have to take pictures. He was okay. Like he wasn't like our first choice. He wasn't terrible. But he knew his role. Like he was gonna clip.
He was the evidence guy.
Yep.
It's incredible. Every squad absolutely needs one. Also, Kurt, so your new stream setup is sick, by the way.
Dude, thank you.
What you got going on. Was that your idea? Was that your design? I know you just recently moved, but it is like electric.
Is it turf?
Yeah, so the turf with the lights was my design, and my wife kind of like, she's like the grand, like, how can I make it all fit in the room together? That's so sick. She helped me with like the desk, and I'm going to do a YouTube video of like a whole house setup, and then it'll be like a stream setup too. But she's more of like the furniture and like how does it all go together, and I give her a few ideas that I like, and then she runs with it.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love that.
Thank you.
Here. Yeah, of course.
Not too expensive.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And where can people find your YouTube? Is everything Kurt Benkert, like YouTube.com/KurtBenkert? Same thing with Twitch. Everything, right? Is just Kurt Ben Kurt. And what is your current stream schedule? I know it's you're a little bit in the off season now, so it's a little bit more open. Yeah. But what typically could they find you?
I just tell people most nights around 7:30. Okay. If I'm not, I really don't ever go more than 3 days without streaming now, just because of the off season. But depending on what I have, like event wise or house wise or like life, I try to stream around 7:30. But I always tweet about it for the most part. And obviously Nodies always work. So
yeah, of course. Yeah. And you got something big coming up. It must be pretty cool for the number one Fortnite player in the world to be able to play with Booga, right? So you're going to get the chance to play with Booga, which is pretty electric. Sponsor calls him Bugga, but I mean, that clip, when I saw him draft, I was like, that is the coolest thing. So Team Beast Mode, Thursday, February 4th at 6 p.m. Is it a custom lobby? Like how does the Twitch Rivals event work?
Yeah. So it's going to be or 30 teams of three and five games. And I don't think there's any more restrictions to that. So like last year there were map restrictions because year was tough. We had basically like a 2x2 square on the map that we could drop and that was it. Yep. And so now the whole map's open, like full lobby. Best five games, and it's going to be placements heavily like rewarded, but also point like eliminations are double this year.
Right.
So two points per kill. So like they're trying to make it a little more electric, a little more like try to get the action going because there was a lot of camping last year for placement. Yeah. But it's going to be big, man. There's best five games, like I said, and first place gets $250K for charity split between the NFL guy and the pro Fortnite player. The third guy is like a community champion. So like they had an open qualifier and that person's kind of along for the ride.
Awesome. I actually did that open tournament and I was like, how cool would it be if I could be top 30? I didn't even come close, bro. Those
Some of these kids, man, like they are insane. And when they did the broadcast, like they had these kids who had never like ever been in front of a camera do their intro video. And like, it was the cutest slash most awkward slash like, holy crap type thing, but it's going to be cool because I know these guys like a random kid out of 30 people got picked and he's on Booga's team. Like, how cool is that?
That's outrageous. And that's like the opportunity of a lifetime. And he gets a chance to play with an NFL player. Like, that's
wanted to be me so bad. So like, who's this 30-year-old guy that snuck in? Like,
you got a bunch of 12-year-olds in Bonzer.
Yeah, just me. Yep. I'm like, hey,
that would have been that would have been the biggest accomplishment to date for you.
Oh, 100%.
And you've got a lot of them.
I came in like HBO. We could make a separate podcast on my accomplishments.
And a couple hours. Episodes. Yeah.
But I played in it. I think I came in like 1800th. Like,
yeah.
I got like 80 points, which is pretty good. But like,
what was it? Solos, Bonds?
Solos.
Yeah.
I just can't for placement. Like, a few kills here and there, rotation. But yeah, the top 30 that made it, like, that's really cool for them to like. Do they make money? Do you know?
They might get like a stipend for being in it. I don't know what that amount will be.
Yeah.
But like most players get paid to be in the event and like they pay you to be able to use your likeness and like market you and stuff.
Right.
But then you're like the ranking or like wherever you come in, what place, that's all the charity.
That's great. Yeah. And you get to choose a charity ahead of time?
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
Did you do you didn't do the Bonzer Gorgon fund or no?
No, I couldn't find you guys.
The Porsche fund? Yeah. Bonzer's wife's
Porsche. It goes straight to the wife's Porsche, but
no doubt.
Off stream, I'll send you the link and maybe you can negotiate giving some.
I can give you like a half of a 0.5%, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, that works. Whatever works.
Yeah.
I just don't want to have to trade it in because she doesn't know that we owe a lot of money on it.
Yeah. So whatever the wife doesn't know, it's totally fine with that. So, Kurt, you're a little bit of a Twitch Rivals veteran. How did it feel in the last one I saw you playing, right, was the Warzone one, where you actually carried professional Warzone player Blue and also Bonds?
Professional.
I'm going to give Bonds a pass for this one time. Like, I'm not a give Bonds a fucking get out of jail free kind of guy.
Okay.
But Bonds played the role that he was asked to play, and he did not – like jump into one of the games because he was so famous that night.
Well, that's actually true.
I was watching this about to eat dinner and all of a sudden Bonzer's just at the loading screen. You guys are like, all right, where are we dropping? And his face was just like,
my heart sank a little bit. I had 100 viewers in my chat. I was on a sub train. I was vibe. I thought I was a fucking man.
Hey, and then Kirk goes, sub train though. Let's talk about the sub train though.
We'll talk about the real sub train. But let me finish this story. So I hear Kurt go, all right, where are we landed, boys? And I'm looking at my stream. I was like, wait, what do you mean, where are we landing? I'm not even in the game. And then that was your best game without me. So maybe
Maybe it's the whole, like, I know I don't have help. that just kind of right. puts a switch. Yeah, makes backs against better. The wall, man. You know, backs against the wall. I know Blue, like Blue, obviously, I've talked to him after the fact, like he wishes he would have played it differently because he's nasty. Like he's such a good player. Right. But I think he played a little bit more so like he didn't belong when like he fucking belonged. Yeah. And obviously, like if we had another chance, we would have played it differently. But I don't know, man. That's another, yeah, Twitch Rivals claim to fame. You know, I've killed Tfue before. I've nice. Now like carried Blue, carried Bonds plenty of times. Yeah, I'm kind of a vet now. They should put me on retainer.
I don't. Yeah, I definitely don't hate that. And obviously, just looking from the optics of it, it's got to be more fun to play in those Warzone. I mean, the Fortnite competitive events, because Warzone, Bonds and I talked about this ad nausea, is just it's just so much luck based, right? If you get the circle pull with your loadout and no one lands on you, like you're sitting clear. It's easy money.
Yeah, I landed one of the games. I landed ATC with a pistol and I sat there for 20 minutes. So like, just not fun to watch. They're not as fun to play in.
Yeah,
the way we played. Obviously, if we played again, we'd try to frag off the start.
Yeah.
But they have to do something with like, I don't know how, I don't know the solution for making it more competitive. Dude,
I really think like, like there's no reason why Warzone can't develop an in-game tracker just like Fortnite does for your points per game. Like, like an arena mode. Like there's no reason why Warzone can't say, hey, 1 point per elim, you get points at each placement spot. And then they change each like playlist style to, hey, this one's going to be worth more for placement. Mm-hmm. This will be worth more for kills. Like there's no reason why they can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've all talked about this a million times, like the state that Warzone's in for how well the game is. I don't think that like they were ready for it to be as good as it is. Cause Fortnite is like 4 or 5 years in the making. Like they've gotten through a bunch of the bugs and we are 1 year into Warzone maybe.
Yeah. But when we were 1 year into Fortnite, like it was roughly around the time when competitive Fortnite really started to kind of take off. So, but to the credit is like Fortnite was like a pioneer. Warzone can just base their model right off Fortnite. So that's why, and it's like a $1 billion company, like billions of dollars Activision's worth. So to me, it's just so infuriating where they must truly just not care about the competitive side at all because and I don't know. At the end of the day, when they're just looking at a business, they probably just want to see more dollars in and don't want to lose more. So
and their stock's going up. I looked yesterday; like Activision stock is going up.
Yeah, and so dude, I've been peeping Activision stock for the past like 4 months, like 4 or 5 months. It's just like this is the first game that no one has actually bitched about like all the time until now. You bring in the competitive. See, no one's like. All the mechanics suck or like the map sucks or like nobody bitches about that stuff that they've gotten right. The one thing is like they've made no progression on what we want, which is like a reason to play.
And like an anti-cheat. Just
Yes.
A ranked like, playlist, anti-cheat. Like I wish it was a ranked playlist, you know?
Yeah. I mean, dude, Halo 3. How many years ago did Halo 3 come out? I'm saying, fucking ranked playlist.
That's what I'm saying.
It was simple. So it was simple, but it worked.
No ahead of yourself. Like, hey, if your team won, you're ranked up. That's it. Like
Yes, I know. I'm in the same boat, man. Cause like Warzone's the one game that like when it's good, I could play for hours on end. Like I don't have to get off. Like I don't have to take a break. It's the one game. Everything else, like I get tired of. But Warzone, when it's good, and I'm not getting blasted by a cheater with a fucking FAR or whatever it is from 300 meters, dude. Like first game on, I'm like, all right. It's going to be one of those days.
It ruins the mood. Like
I was playing buyback squads on Friday and I just spawned in back over Boneyard. I mean, right over the Bone Zone. And I got sniped through a tree with a default thermal sniper all the way behind, you know, where Park is, where that spire is, all the way in the bottom of the map.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, all right, I wasn't moving. I guess this guy sniped me. I watched the kill cam and just like, what?
You didn't even show up on it. Like it was the most blatant hack I've ever seen.
Like you couldn't even see me through the leaves on the tree. Yeah. It just, and this guy
didn't even render it
900 meters out. I was just like, come on. I don't understand how that's fun. Like, I don't understand how that's fun. I still will never understand it.
No, it blows my mind. And it's kids that I feel like a lot of it is like kids who, I don't know. I heard this one. It was somebody like, I don't know. It might've been one of you guys, but it was a person asking someone like, why are they cheating? And it was like a 12-year-old kid like talking. And I'm like, like, come on. Like
even when we used to play game battles, it was always kids cheating in Call of Duty, hitting you offline. So there's always going to be little wrath like that.
Yeah.
It's just like Nick Merck says it best. Like when there's cheese, there's going to be rats. You know what I mean? So like when there's money in the line, there's going to be rats.
But funny
dude, like how, how awesome was what Nick Merckx did for those few months? Like, it was the biggest shit. Everyone talked about it. Like,
Gauntlet, man, it was enormous. It gave me an opportunity to play in it. You know what I mean? Yes. It was amazing.
Like those types of things can happen when there's a good foundation built. And unfortunately, Warzone is a better game than it has a foundation of. Like, the foundation's shitty.
I remember you played, so the 50K Rise Nation charity tournament with Aiden, Mutex, and there was
his name was Dolo, and he was through Rise, and so he was like our end of the tournament, and there's me, Aiden, and Mutex. And that's the other thing that I've always questioned, like, I feel like when Call of Duty has these tournaments that Activision puts on, they give preferred lobbies to like the big time people, because when I played with Aiden and Mutex, like, I played 3 hours straight with them, and neither of them dropped over like 22 kills in 3 hours of gameplay.
Which is crazy.
Like, and now it's like they're getting more views and stuff, and like, no discrediting them. Like, they're killing it. Like, whatever is going on, like, they're killing it. But I do feel like Activision has something to do with the lobbies, because in 3 hours of gameplay for those two guys, for what they're doing now to only drop 22 kills in a game, like, you would think they're having a bad day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And they have 30 kills or like 30 left nowadays.
I know. I'm like, I just think like maybe Activision's focusing on the wrong things, and I don't know. They're getting the views, so like they must not care too much.
That's what I'm saying.
If it's not hurting the wallet, I don't think it's gonna. I don't think they're gonna change.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Activision and I really don't care, I'm gonna do what I can to make my biggest Call of Duty guys the most successful. And like, it's just going to be, when you look at Twitch and Call of Duty has 200K viewers, cool. Like, that's, they're winning in their book.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Nobody wants to see them in sweat lobbies all day either. They want to see them with 30, 40 kills. Yeah, it's good for Twitch. It's good for the viewer. Yeah. But then it sucks. It's like when I'm around a 3KD, I'm jumping in and I'm like 10, 15 kills. And I'm like, this doesn't look right. This doesn't seem right. Like, these kids killing me. Like, I don't see them in Aiden's lobby that much.
Lobby's just not so fast that I'm in. Like, end of second circle, there's like 70 to 50 left. And it's like, I can't even find 40 people in a car if I land super, go hangers. Doesn't matter what I do.
Yeah.
Some of it is stream snipers, too. Like, Aiden kills somebody, they see it's Aiden. Where's he at? I'm dropping back.
If Aiden kills me, I'm going right back.
Me too. Like, me too.
I'm not even like a person who nobody knows who I am. I'm going right back. I am. Yeah. Like, it is what it is, but I think that's definitely part of it too. But it's just, I don't know, man. I'm such like a black and white person. I believe, like, just tell me the truth. I don't care. Like, it is what it is.
That's what I'm saying.
I just want like clarity and like rules, or like, I want to be able to compare myself without any gray area to the best of the best.
Exactly.
And I can't do that.
Exactly. Like, there's a ton of gray area.
Yeah, with everything going on now, it's if people's using routers, if you're open with it, I don't care. But it's like the people like all of a sudden they're dropping 55s, and you're looking and you're like, how is it possible you're a 4 or 5 KD getting a bronze one when I'm playing with people who are sub 1 KDs and we're diamond twos?
Yep.
It's like just be
Julio open Jones, baby.
Julio Jones.
Exactly.
It's funny. We first of all, he loves the bunker.
Oh, like,
99% of her. Kurt, did you see the clip I put on Twitter of him losing money in the buy station?
Yes. Yes.
Kurt, I've never laughed in Warzone. So he's a big money guy. I don't know him in real life. I'm sure he's a big money guy in real life. But
I've never seen you smile like that, by the way.
Dude, I'm not kidding. I was crying. Not like Matt when he was crying because of the sub trade, but I was like crying, half like tears of like laughter. So he drops the money in the station. He's like, the storm would have killed him if we didn't say, hey, we got to go, Julio. Like, dude, leave it behind.
That is him.
He's like, damn. He's like, wait, I think I got it.
Okay, so little insight. Like, guys like him, like in the NFL, like, it's just known they have money on them. Like, it just is. Like, they obviously, they don't have like an absurd amount on them, but like, they like having cash at all times. Like, it's just like, it is. I probably would too. And it's always on this like satchel, like everyone has it. It's like a satchel, like a man's satchel. And it's just like, yeah, he's probably got a good chunk on him today. Like, it just, and it's always like, it's like, I don't know. It's like a, I can't. Yeah. It's a status thing. Like,
when do you get to that level?
It's definitely many millions. Like, like it's many millions. The clip that I posted of you dropping him, like a terrible Uber driver, like, him, he was like, oh, I got 3 bands on me. Like, no, like that's a many, many, many bands conversation.
Yeah. Because I even said, I was like, there's a lot of money in my back seat. He's like, no, I only got three bands. I'm like, no, I'm talking about like net worth.
But yeah. That was hilarious.
He's off the grid too. Like he'll see, like, he's just so off the grid. He's like in his own world from what I've gathered.
He showed me his house. We were leaving Tampa Bay. It was the last game of the season. We were playing Tampa Bay. I think it was on the way, or I don't know if we were leaving the game or going to the game, but I sat next to him on the bus and he was going through like his house, and his house looks like, I mean, it's like many, many acres in the city of Atlanta. So like,
oh my God,
it's like, you don't get that there. Like there's trees and like, it's like right on the outskirts, but like, he basically has it set up to where he'll never have to leave a day in his life if he doesn't want to. Like anything he could need in life, he could just hire someone and come in, and there's like a thing for that. So like hair done, there's like a hairdressing studio. There's like an event space, he has that. Like it's a whole different level of like wealth that it's just like, you don't even question if you want something, you just do it and you pay someone to do it. It's cool, man. Like to be able to associate people that have made it like that, it's crazy. Yeah.
And talking about how, like, it's Julio Jones we're talking about. And on the last game, Bonzer and I played with him, like, right before the last game, I was like, yo, I just got to hop off at the end of this game, like, it's my sister's birthday or whatever. So then we play, like, the full Warzone game. We get a dub. And he's like, yo, great job, guys. Like, great win. And he's like, Rags, well, you can call me Rags, but he's like, yo, you said your sister had a birthday? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, tell her I said happy birthday. Hope she has. I was like, and I'm like, fucking, bro, fucking Julio Jones. Like the nicest guy that not only remember that, but to wish your happy birthday and to like to humanize. It's crazy to me. But like
that's why everyone loves him, man.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, and he's not like big on social media, so people don't get to see that side of him. But like when I tell people he's my favorite teammate, like he's literally my favorite teammate because of that side of him. Like I have other people that I've been around that are like phenomenal football players.
Right.
But they're just not like the same person. And dude, if you tell him anything, like he really won't forget it. Like, and he'll hold it against you. Like he does that like to some of the coaches and like in practice and stuff. Like if you say something, like you better like remember that you said it, because it's not getting past Jet Jones, man.
Damn. We played with Kyle Van Noy, and I don't think he knew that Van Noy was on the Dolphins. he asked if Van Noy was a fan of Miami, the Dolphins.
Oh my God.
I messaged KVN. I was like, does he not know you're on the team? And he's like, I guess I'm not good enough. He also said for defenses, he only memorizes numbers. Yeah. Like, he won't give a DB the satisfaction of, like, saying his name.
That's so funny.
We were talking about like, that.
He's literally – dude, he's not kidding. He's, like, a different mental beast, like, when it comes to preparing and, like, stuff for games. Like, he's very – like, he's obviously really smart and, like, he can say things, like, really well. Like, he's just – he's, like, a different – he can play chess with you on the field. He's not just, like, a guy playing checkers. Like, he is – that's why he's the best – like, in my opinion, he's the best receiver of all time. And he gets, like, the respect of – defenses week after week after week that other receivers don't, even if they're top guys. Like he's the only one that I've seen, like watching film, I've been in the NFL 3 years now, that every week a defense has a plan for him, no matter if they normally do it or not. Like it's wild, man.
Yeah, even if he's having a bad year, bad game, like bad few weeks, it's somebody like I'm assuming there's always two guys on him. Like that would be so annoying. Double coverage. Like,
I know.
It's like, dude, let me free for this play. Like must be annoying.
It's crazy. And I think like what he's able to do is more like applaudable because he's always double covered. Like,
right.
Like it's just insane. It's nuts.
It's literally next level. And talking about that, like mental game of chess on the field, Kurt, when I watch your TikToks or your Madden videos breaking down a defense, it is the coolest thing in the world for me. Cause I'm someone who I played football in high school, right? I know the sport. I love the sport a lot. I was a true beast at NCAA 14. Like I was ranked like top 100 in the world. And I'm telling you, like, I just know the cheese. I can't tell you why a slant works against this coverage, but I just know if I hit it every single time, and to see you be like, oh, this is a cover man two. This is what we got to do. It is the coolest thing in the world. And it's gotta be so easy for you. Cause you're like, oh, this is fucking obvious. There's no zone. Let me hit the flat. It's an easy touchdown to
Jones.
You know what I mean?
I think like for me, it's been a cool way to like build my brand. And like, people are like, oh shit. Like, he's not just like a backup in the NFL, like he knows his shit, but also like to incorporate video games. And like, I'm straddling the fine line of like Madden is like a cheesy game. Exactly. So like there's cheese in it that works. But like when I know something's going to work, cause it translates to real life. Like I love doing that stuff. And a lot of it, like now I'm going to start building out, like teaching people like the leverages and stuff and if it's two man, like the guys are probably playing inside leverage. So like, it's going to be tough to complete slants. Like you have to work out, but then like, I'm going to go into a deeper level of it, but like the comments that I've been getting and like the responses have been cool. Like
it's sick.
It's really cool to see. Cause like we've all grown up playing Madden, but now there's like, there's no real access to like, what leverage does a DB play in cover three? Or how do you know a cover two safety versus a cover four safety? Like there's nowhere like real place, at least on Google, that I've seen that you can get that information. So I'm trying to bring that a little bit to TikTok and,
so the guys from Madden. The top person in the world at Madden, why are they so good? Are they just doing those cheese plays? Do they know how to read these defenses, or like, is it just like
cheese plays?
Yeah.
These guys run like four or five plays a game. And like, they probably know a little more football than the average guy.
For sure.
But they run four or five plays a game, and they run like three defensive plays that, like right now in Madden, there's a 3-4 defense that, like the D end literally, or he's technically a linebacker, but he will not be blocked no matter if you slide the line that way. If you mic the guy next to him, so the line should be responsible for him. Like the game is just cheese to where it will not block him no matter what. And so they do that shit all the time until Madden fixes it. Then they find the next one. And that's why, like, I don't get too far into the competitive side of it. Cause there's like, there'll be a game where I play and the guy runs three plays. And I'm like, in real life, this play should work against it, but it doesn't. And I'm throwing pick after pick after pick, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. Like,
that must be frustrating for you, somebody who knows the game, who plays, you know, the NFL.
Yeah.
To see, it's like, nuts, man. It's so unrealistic. Even the momentum, like when you catch a screen pass, like the momentum like carries you out of bounds, just like that cheesy shit. The mechanics,
and like rightfully so, like Madden's getting a lot of backlash for it because it's more like more people are streaming, more people are making this stuff public to where it's not just you bitching under your breath.
Right.
Like, damn, this game sucks. It's like gaining traction on social media, and like all we want is a good football game to play, and it was that once upon a time. So I don't know. Yeah. Hopefully they fix it soon, because like Madden could be one of the most dominant games in the industry right now, but nobody enjoys playing it consistently.
Yeah, I feel like FPS kind of took the lead. The first person shooters. I haven't played a sports game in so long once I started playing FPS. So.
But every time football season comes back around, let's call it like August, September, like I always get the itch to play Madden again. And I'm always like, I'm not spending another $65 on a reskin BS game. I mean, I see a million Twitter videos, Instagram videos, and it's always a fumble on the ground for whatever reason. And the players are just kicking it around, And somehow a guy picks it up, breaks 15 tackles, and goes into the end zone like to win the game. And I'm just like, my fist would be through a monitor. And I'm usually like pretty level-headed, like my fist would be through a monitor at that point.
So like how I look at it is like, if imagine if like Warzone had really shitty mechanics and like people wanted to play it, but instead of like fixing like the easy mechanics, like say you're like trying to right peek around a wall and like it auto attaches you to the wall and you can't get off the wall, like, that'd be a problem. Like there's things like that in Madden that instead of fixing that, they add like what would be equivalent to a new skin in the game every day. Or like they and their social media team hypes up the new mutt pack came out today when there's like your gun has 30 bullets and it can only shoot 25. Like there's like those types of things that are wrong. Yeah. That's just like, what is going on? Like,
and that's frustrating.
And they really tried to replicate Madden Ultimate Team, like compared to like FIFA Ultimate Team, but like FIFA is just like a different animal. For example, like, there's so many different leagues to pull players from, nationalities, where it's like, you know, it's you just have the NFL. And it's not like you can build these such dynamic, interesting teams of different nationalities. It's like, you're going to get the best players or the broken cards, really.
Yes. That's
really
it. Like, you might as well just go play franchise. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
For me, the funniest thing was seeing you pull your own card.
That was fire.
How long did that take?
I was on stream. The first time I did it, I was on stream, and it probably took me like 8 to 10 packs. It happened pretty quick. But I also like, I made sure I bought like the lowest level pack. Like, the likelihood of me doing, and I think if you like have a fan favorite team, like if you pick your team, like I have the Falcons, I think it will more likely, that's just a theory, but I think it'll give you
that
more.
That makes sense. See, like for me, that'd be the moment, like knowing, oh shit, I'm in the NFL. Like I pulled a Madden card of myself. Yeah. Speaking of unrealistic, you can't even complete like an out route with your character.
Dude, it's
what's your rating in NFL?
It's the most frustrating thing in the world.
So
like,
stupid.
And it's like, it's not like he hasn't played in a game, like whatever, like maybe the awareness should be low. We're like, we're going to tack down his speed or his throw power until he proves it in a game. But I'm like, dude, we're in the NFL for a reason. You see these college highlights of me going hash to hash, like a deep out to the side, like to the opposite hash. Like at least let me complete a slant.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you see guys like Taylor Heinicke, like his Madden rating's dog shit. And he goes out and balls out in a playoff game. Like, people don't understand that these guys like us, like, we can go out and play. We're just not in a spot that we're needed. Like, Matt Ryan played 13 years and he doesn't get hurt. So, like, I probably won't see the field unless that happens. Like,
yeah.
And he doesn't. Like, he's a safe player. So, like, it's, we're all in the NFL for a reason, and we're at different levels. And I think Madden does too terrible of a job of, like, making the best players play so elite. And, like, if you're not the best player, they're going to lower your rating a lot. Like,
yeah,
it's like Josh Allen. Josh Allen started the season like in the low, low 80s. And like, that's, I think, fun. He ended the season at like an 88 overall. I'm like, you kidding me? Like,
yeah, right.
Like, come on, Madden.
What more could he do?
Yeah, there has to be.
Go ahead, Matt. No, I was just gonna say, how much do NFL players hate the guy? Like, because I've seen pictures. I don't know if it's real or not, but it says like the Madden's skills assignment or something like that.
And he's
Like, are people ever go up to that guy and be like, "Yo, fuck you, I can catch that pass," right? Like, or is it like locker room talk, anything like that?
So, like, when Madden first comes out, like, we'll talk briefly about like, yo, like the ratings. Like come on now, and it's the same conversation every year. But I think a few years ago, so Mohamed Sanu, I've kind of become sort of close with him and like worked out with him in the offseason and stuff. And he was pissed that his throw rating sucked. And he's like got the best like completion percentage and like touchdown ratio of like any player in the history of the NFL.
That's so funny.
Because he has a few trick plays.
Yeah.
And so he had a Madden rating adjuster come out and like watch him throw, and like they bumped his shit up. So like there's like ways to bitch enough to get it fixed.
There's real people, sure. There's Madden adjusters in real life.
Yes.
Yeah. I find it hard to believe, Kurt, you haven't called him and said, "Hey, come down to."
Have you ever sent email?
DMs, dude. I'm in this dude's DMs for sure.
Yeah, he's probably like, "Kurt, leave me alone."
So I can't pull it up right now. So there's a guy, like the main guy. We've talked before about other things, and then like Madden got brought up, and I reached out to him recently, and I was like, "How do you guys track? Like, how do you guys track the time it takes for a quarterback to release or whatnot?"
Interesting.
Because I don't. Like, I want to know where I stack up against the best guys. Like, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is the fastest release in the league. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have a pretty fast release. Like, it's what I've been known for growing up. And so I just wanted to know, how do I track the number? Like, what is the seconds? And he said, "Well, we don't have anybody that does that, but we have, like, I went and looked at your throwing motion in Madden, and it doesn't match up to your throwing motion in real life. Like, try to go into the game and test out a few that you think is more right, because the one we have for you is too slow." Mm-hmm. So, like, there's ways around, like, those types of things. So like, I still haven't gotten to it yet, but I'm going to go in and I'm going to try a few that he tried and be like, which one matches up to my throw style.
Right.
Cause he DM'd me during training camp. He's like, "Dude, like, you switched your cleats. Like, I got to switch your cleats now." Like, he's
that's
on that.
Crazy. That's pretty cool. That's pretty like, cool. It's,
do yeah, they record it's you cool. throwing and try to put that motion in the game?
He had me send him like just a fuck ton of clips of me throwing. And he was like, "Well, the one we have for you is definitely not it. I don't think it's quite this one, because that's a little more gunslinger, but like your gunslinger on the run," like he got in depth of like
that's
what throwing motion it should be for me when I'm stationary and when I'm running. Like,
that's pretty crazy. Deep.
I didn't think that much really went into it, to be honest.
Yeah, dude. Cause like, if you play with Aaron Rodgers, he's got the quickest release in the game.
Yeah.
And then if you play with some other guys, it takes forever for the ball to get out of your hand, but it gets there with speed. Like, so it just depends on like what your style is, your throw power, like everything matters. And he's like, "Yeah, the one we have for you is way too slow. Like, try these few and tell me which one you think fits your style best."
Huh. Interesting. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Do they ever have like Pat Mahomes or sidearm or anything, or is it typically the same over the top motion?
It's they have a few animations, but a lot of it's like over the top. But they'll do like if a running back's super close to you, they'll have them like flip it underhand, or like they'll do some weird shit like that. But I don't think they've gotten to the sidearm, like low sidearm throws.
That's tough to code.
Yet.
Yeah.
Next year they'll probably do something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Stafford had an unbelievable one. Game. Stafford, dude. Like the end, the touchdown one, no look, thread the needle. Like,
Stafford's good. I don't care what anybody says. He's a really good quarterback. And it's been unfortunate that he's been in Detroit, like with like a subpar team for so long. Like, I'm
not
so
anymore,
excited
right?
to see what he does in LA, man.
Yeah. That should
be cool.
But yeah, that throw I saw, I was like, dude, the risk reward. Like, he must have, obviously, he's a pro. He does that all the time. But like, to throw through a window looking the other way,
it's unbelievable.
He's so nonchalant. If that was Mahomes, the announcer, like Romo, would have a heart attack.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The announcers would have had a heart attack.
That's what they always say.
Stafford, but
Speaking of great throws, you put a video of your Senior Bowl a couple days ago. That was one of the coolest throws I've ever seen on the run, like a perfect dime over the top right to the receiver on the line. That was a 70-yard touchdown?
Yeah, it was like 70. Dude, that
was amped after that.
dude, I was losing it because like I was in the third quarter. So like the way it works in the Senior Bowl, it's like first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. Right. Each quarterback gets their own. So like I had waited like all the first half, went into the locker room at halftime, like still hadn't touched the field. And I was like, still, I was just trying to get loose. But like, that is like my play style, like the creative, like throwing the run. Like, that's what I'm really good at. Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that, like on that stage was like, finally, like people get to see like what I can do in like an NFL type system. And kind of like, it's not just a fluke thing. But dude, I was so hyped. It was to Rashad Penny. And the guy that it was on is Fred Warner. He's like, obviously stud linebacker in the NFL. Yeah. Now. He had just made the transition from safety to linebacker. So it was like, cool to like, I haven't played yet, but those guys are playing.
Right.
And like to show that I can step in and do it. Yeah, like for sure. It was cool.
The quarterback role has to be the hardest role to win over. There's only one of them in the lineup.
Yep.
It's just like, how do you, especially with no preseason this year with COVID, yeah. right? Wasn't there, how yeah, do no you, preseason. Do you have to dominate in practice? Like there's literally nothing you can do.
Yeah. What's the fine line of dominating, especially with being a hardo, right? Like too much, yeah. you know what I mean?
So I will say, like, I did dominate in practice, and I was told at the end of camp, no matter what, like, it didn't matter. And that was, like,
that's crushing.
When that got to, like, when it got to that point at the end of camp, I was like, oh, like, I really can't control everything. Like,
yeah.
there's
yeah.
only so much you can do. Like, I played as well as I could. Like, I made big plays. Like, I showed what they wanted me to. Like, when I left the season before and came back, like, for training camp, they're like, these are things we want you to work on, like, dominated. And to be told like it didn't matter, that's when it like to me it was like, oh, like it's really a business, like it doesn't matter. But just for me, like I had known that I'd gotten to a point where like I'm ready to play, and if they needed me, they could plug me in, and I'd go and I'd play well. But there is a point where like you can only stress so much about the things that you can't control. And this year for me was that moment where I realized like there's only so much I can do, and it's a lot of my agent put it to me best, like all these other teams who had like they got to like their fifth or sixth quarterback on the year because of injuries or bad performance or like whatever, COVID, anything.
COVID, yeah.
He was like, look, you're playing blackjack right now and the dealer keeps getting 21 while all these guys just keep winning lucky hands.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's the spot you're in right now. But like they know you're ready, you know you're ready, like just kind of just stick it out. It is what it is. So, yeah.
And you were only a few tests away from being on the field, you know, few dude, positive. Yeah, like, so
exactly. And Matt Schaub just retired. He's been in the league for like 16-17 years. Right. Like obviously Matt Ryan's been in the league 13 years. So like, it's not like I was behind guys that like hadn't proven themselves either. Like I was behind two guys that together have over 30 years in the NFL. Like,
yeah,
it's not a bad spot to be in and good guys to learn from.
I was going to say definitely good guys to learn from. Like I've never, obviously I don't know anything about, obviously I know Matt Ryan from BC and know Schaub, they're legend quarterbacks, but like, it's cool. You get to pick their brain at least and learn some things from them. And you like, signed another 1 year. Didn't you sign another 1 year? Or you
just re-signed.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. Appreciate it.
Let's go. That's awesome.
I'm excited, man.
And so to go backwards, so I was talking to Matt about this beforehand, like the undrafted, you weren't drafted into the NFL.
Yeah.
How does that process work? Like, so were you not, you weren't expecting to get drafted or did you think you might be?
I was expected.
You were? So, okay.
So my draft class, I was in 2018 with like, it was on paper the deepest quarterback draft in like since 83, since like Marino and those guys. Like I had Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, like going all the way down the list, Lamar Jackson. Like it was a deep five in the first round. Like it was deep.
Wow.
And so knowing that, like I knew like it was going to be late round pick just because of the numbers. And then on top of that, we had the most juniors declare early in the history of the NFL. So like, everything was stacked against me, but like on paper, I was anywhere from third to fifth round pick expected. And like, as the draft went, like it was like, okay, third round's gone, fourth round's gone, fifth round, like, holy shit. Like I might be a late round pick. And my agent was like, dude, I don't, like, we really don't know what's happening. Like I have I'm represented by the same agency that represents Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. And like, they're influential. Like they have good, like good details and stuff. So they were like, it's just, we don't know what's happening. Like we'll see like kind of as it goes, but like anything's on the table now. So going through the seventh round, wasn't picked. And as an undrafted guy, you basically like you get offers to sign as an undrafted free agent. So the Falcons had called me prior, but they didn't have a draft pick left. They like, I think they traded away like their sixth and seventh round picks. And so it was mainly between the teams that I really wanted to go to that had given me offers. It was between Tampa Bay, Kansas City, and Atlanta. And Atlanta had actually offered me the least amount of money, but I felt like for me and my future, it was the best spot to go to learn from two pros and to kind of get into a system that like, I'm not a pro style system guy. So I wanted to go there to like learn the pro style system. Cause I could pop and play in a spread system and like, it would be easy, but if for like longevity in the NFL, I knew this was like the best chance for me. So like long story short, I signed with Atlanta. When I came in, they said, we're treating you as if you're a late round pick for us. So it's not like you're just a normal undrafted guy. They gave me guaranteed money.
Nice.
Signing bonus. Like they gave me the most that they've ever given an undrafted guy in the history of the organization. So they were showing me, they were treating me like a draft pick.
Awesome.
So, I mean, 4 years later, it's all working out and, we'll see what happens this offseason with quarterbacks and stuff. But right now, slated is the number two going into it. But we have a high draft pick, so we'll see what happens with that. But I'm in a good spot.
Let's go, Kurt. Yeah, love to hear that.
I know. I can't wait. Like every time I watch, I put on the Falcons. I'm like, I fucking wish Kurt was in here. Like, I would love to see you throw them around. I watched your preseason highlights more than I care to admit. And you went off. What did you have? Was it turf toe or?
Turf toe. Yeah, I had grade three is where it completely tears, and that's what I got unlucky, and I got rolled up on while my toe, the top of my foot was the only thing stuck in the turf while I was getting tackled going forward.
Jeez.
So it was just, dude, it was tough, but it was a quick 6 month recovery, and I don't even feel it anymore. So
that's one of the great things about being a professional esport player like me. I've never had turf toe. I've never been injured. So
I'm shocked, no arthritis or anything at your age.
Honestly, a little bit. Sometimes I'll play games and with my posture, my shoulder will hurt.
Dude, you have the weirdest posture of any person I've ever seen gaming. You almost look like Clutch Belk. Like you both sit so upright. You look like a serial killer. Like you bonds are like this. Even when you're mad or anything, really? It's weird. Yeah. You're
I have to be in the screen, man. I'm
Merch.
I'm leaning forward a good, yeah. Kurt's nose is touching the monitor. I have a good one. Bonzer is he's really this. I'm what the hell is that?
Yep.
Kurt Benkert, the absolute legend, playing in Twitch Rivals Streamer, the second Streamer Bowl, correct?
Part two.
Second Streamer Bowl, part two, February 4th, 6 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/KurtBenkert. Kurt, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was an absolute banger episode. We really, really appreciate you for having us on.
Hey, thanks for having me, boys.
Of course, man.